she thought it was the gardener. We see very clearly in today's account the lack of faith that the disciples had, for Mary Magdalene thinks that our Lord is a gardener. Even though she loved him much, she too did not fully believe in all the mysteries that he taught them. And yet, in that statement, she thought he was the gardener. Mary Magdalene is not completely wrong, for our Lord truly is the divine gardener. He came to sow to the chosen people, but as he instructed his apostles, he would reap even where he does not sow. And so we see him now in his post-resurrection manifestation to all his disciples, in which he is gathering them in order to strengthen them to carry forth the divine mysteries until the end of time. Our Lord tells Mary Magdalene very clearly that she is too attached to his visible physical presence. That is, her faith, as was the faith of all the disciples and most of the apostles, save the blessed apostle St. John, was rooted too much in a sentimentality, too much in their emotions and feelings. And so our Lord instructs Mary Magdalene not to touch her, because she is to come to know and to love him and to touch him into the most special mystery, the greatest mystery of our faith. And so our Lord spends these times preparing all the disciples so that they may fully come to understand all the mysteries of the Church, most particularly that most profound of all mysteries, in which he dwells with us from all time, as physically as he dwelt in Jerusalem, but in a hidden presence in the Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Eucharist. And so we have much to be hopeful for. We have much to be thankful for during this time of Easter, for we truly have come to know that the Lord and Savior truly is with us until the end of time. And we see in today's first reading precisely what the grace of God does. St. Peter, who formerly denied our Lord, who was constantly disappointing our Lord in one sense, is today strengthened. And so he instructs all those in Jerusalem who participated in the crucifixion of the Savior as to their need for repentance and to come to know the risen Lord, and most particularly to come to know him in his Eucharistic presence. And by this we are profoundly struck that all the sacraments have a Eucharistic angle, that all the sacraments are either a preparation for receiving the Eucharist, or necessary to bring the Eucharist about, as with holy orders, or to reconcile the sinner to Almighty God so that they may again begin to participate in that most profound of all the sacraments. And so we come to see the true nature of the Lord and Savior, his mercy, his kindness, and his love for all mankind, to be with us until the end of time in his presence, strengthening us by his grace, so that we may become like St. Peter, true witnesses and true defenders of the Lord, not counting the cost of what the rabble says or what the world says, but going forward, preaching the message of the gospel, the need to repent in order to attain the mercy of God, and then through the sacramental life, sustaining that life of mercy, that life of grace in our souls until the end of time, so that truly we become temples of the Holy Spirit, and so that we too can manifest those gifts as St. Peter manifests them in the first reading, and as St. Mary Magdalene and all the disciples would come to know them. And so we are struck with this most profound love of the Savior. Here he is gathering the disciples, not lording it over those who put him to death, but gathering the disciples in order that they may bring the message of his resurrection to all peoples and to all times until the end of time. And so let us strengthen by his act of love for us. Let us strengthen by the witness in today's gospel that the Lord even had to strengthen those who loved him very dearly and who loved him very much, but did not fully understand the depths of his love for us and what he was about to do and to establish in the world until the end of time. And his dear mother would spend the bulk of her life instructing the apostles, teaching them how to most worthily participate in that most profound of all his sacrifices, that most profound of all his humiliations, that humiliation by which he truly dwells with us until the end of time in the most blessed Blessed Sacrament, and so she truly is the model and exemplar of all those who love the Eucharistic Lord. It was when Mary Magdalene came to imitate the Mother of God, it was when St. Peter came to imitate the Mother of God, that they began to fulfill that calling in the mystical body of Christ. And so what is true for them is true for every member of the mystical body until the end of time. Insofar as we come to imitate the Blessed Virgin Mary, that is insofar as we most worthily participate in the sacramental life of the Church and truly sustain that most profound of all mysteries, that we become temples of the Holy Spirit, and that the Spirit is with us until the end of time to distribute His gifts to all the members of the body so that they may witness to the love of the Son of God for all mankind. That love for which the Father instructed Him to come, that love by which He did not deign it unnecessary or beneath His dignity to even give His sacred humanity for the salvation of the world. And so let us strive each and every moment of our lives to truly enter into that mystery of our salvation, to give ourselves entirely to Him through the hands of His Mother, letting her carry us about, letting her show us what to do and how to do it, so that we may truly die to ourselves, so that the love and mercy of Christ may come to live in us, and so that we may bring that love and mercy to all those who are in need and are seeking for that love and mercy. And so we must love each and every member of the human family as the Mother of God loves them. She loved them so much that she too did not spare her only Son, but delivered Him up to be crucified for the world. And so she did it for us all. Let us do everything for her.